Today, our guest is Dorit Baxter, the CMO of Connect America. She brings a ton of marketing and leadership experience, so buckle up, because she really knows her stuff, and the practical advice comes flying in fast and furious. From building advocates, WOM, ROI, CAC, ABM, and I'll just see if I can throw any other marketing acronyms in there. Stick around for the end, where I'll summarize three specific action items you can utilize right now to grow your business in the most authentic way possible. I know you're going to love this, so let's jump in. Hey, this is Todd, and welcome to the Word of Mouth Marketing Podcast. I am so excited today to have the CMO of Connect America with us, Dorit Baxter. Welcome to the podcast, Dorit.
Thank you so much, Todd. I'm very excited to be here with you.
Oh, so am I. I'm really excited to let our audience know a little bit about you. So would you mind just taking a couple of minutes and first help us get to know you personally, and then help us get to know a little bit about your professional background?
Sure. So again, I'm Dorit Baxter. I currently live in Rhode Island, the big giant state of Rhode Island. I am originally from the Los Angeles area and have lived other places in between, but this is where I call home now. I am married and I have one son, and we enjoy spending time together as a family. When I'm not working, I also like to cook a lot. And so I also like to spend time in the gym lifting weights, and those two things tend to go together. And I'm also very much into anything around the house, you know, decorating, things along those lines.
Oh, that's fantastic. So lifting weights, you've got a son, you're married out there in Rhode Island. It must be beautiful in the fall right now. We're here in Salt Lake City and just loving the fall colors, but, what does it look like out there in Rhode Island?
It's pretty right now. And actually, there's that crispness in the air, and it's a different type out because being from the West as well, you know, the air feels different out here in the fall, and you definitely have a much more marked season. And it's nice to take a trip up to New Hampshire or Vermont this time of year.
That's fantastic. Well, help us get to know a little bit about your professional experience and your journey through marketing.
Sure. So I'm a little bit of an accidental marketer. I started my career in journalism. So I'd majored in English and I wanted to be a writer. And I started that process, and I actually worked as an assistant editor in a magazine as one of my first jobs. And then just, you know, luck would have it, I ended up moving to a different state, and it was very difficult to find journalism jobs. And that was back in the time when you had to be physically present in your office. So I ended up taking a job at IBM. And I started out as a writer, and I wrote things like white papers and spec sheets. And that was a new experience for me. And I thought, does anybody read these things? You know, and then I found out they actually do read those things. And there's a reason why you write content to talk about your offerings and, you know, let people know what's involved. So, but there was one particular moment, if I had to pinpoint when I became a marketer, at least in my mind and my heart, I was invited to a meeting where we were talking about a new product line that was coming out. And there was the VP of marketing and a lot of people around the table, including the creative agency that we were working with. And people were brainstorming. They brought pictures from other magazine advertisements, and they were whiteboarding, and there was all this food, and people were having a good time. And they were also challenging each other. And I thought, this is fantastic. This is exciting. And now I understand why people make the decisions that they do about, you know, what we're going to put in our marketing materials. And so I wanted to be a part of that, and ultimately ended up becoming a content strategist for one of their websites. So I was able to think about that. And from there, it just kind of kept going.
Oh, I love that. Just from my experience, Dorit, I found the best marketers have a writing background. They learn how to master the language. They learn how to communicate the written word. And that translates obviously so well into digital marketing. So what a great background there. So tell us a little bit about Connect America and how Connect America is helping people.
Sure. So when people ask me about Connect America, I like to start with our vision or mission statement, because I think about your vision statement as, at the end of the day, how is the world going to be a better place when you are successful as an organization? And so our vision is to empower everyone to age gracefully and well in the home. So we know that the population of people above the age of 65 is growing exponentially throughout time. And everybody, pretty much, I mean, they say upwards of 80% of people, they want to stay at home as long as possible. And so Connect America pulls together technology, whether it's connected devices, tech-enabled services, like connecting people to help or to transportation, with concierge call center services, and as well as data and analytics to help improve people's ability to stay at home and stay safe and connected to care when they need it.
I love that. While people are going through the sunset of their life, so they can do that with as much comfort and right there at home. What a really empowering service that you're offering the world. Tell us a little bit about who your ideal customer is.
Sure. So Connect America is actually has a family of companies through some acquisitions and, coming together. We have a few brands and organizations. So we really do cover everyone from the individual consumer, somebody who is, ready to, they want to stay at home, but they might need the peace of mind of having a two-way voice assistant in their home. They can press a button, they can talk to someone. To the caregiver. And that could be a family member, but it could also be their doctor. It could be, a caseworker or somebody else that might be working with them. So we cover all the way through the B2B side, which is really generally split into two areas. So one is healthcare professionals. So the physician groups who might be, wanting to have a device in the home to make sure that somebody's, vitals are being checked or that they're taking their medications, to a large health system. And then on the health plan side, so we also work with health plan organizations, particularly plans that have Medicare Advantage plans or Medicaid organizations or even special needs plans. So those types of healthcare organizations that are responsible for the care and outcomes of people that are aging or more vulnerable, might have multiple chronic conditions, who are in the home.
That's fantastic. For these customers, what really sets Connect America apart? What are some of your differentiators?
Connect America is, everybody says their company is the leading provider of whatever it is that they do. But the truth is Connect America is the leading provider of these types of connective care solutions in the home for this population. Has been doing this for, several decades of taking care of people in the home, whether it's through, personal emergency response. So over the time period that the organizations have been around, we estimate that we've impacted and protected about 10 million lives. So that's really important in this space because these are people that need solutions designed for them. This is, it's not just like the latest, consumer tech that may not work, the way that it's supposed to work in order for people to get the help that they need. So the scale and the experience is extremely important. But in addition to that, the innovation that we have brought together to not only have a button in the home that allows someone to talk to somebody, but that also tools and tech that allow them to take their vital signs so they can manage their chronic conditions, whether it could be even medication adherence solutions. We also have an AI virtual health assistant that will chat and text with people in the home, which is very effective. People don't realize this, but seniors actually, that is their preferred method of communication. To the ability to, have a live person on the phone that is trained to help work with that person to see whether they need a ride to their doctor or they might need, maybe they're socially isolated. So it's really bringing together all of these things into a platform to surround someone in the home with what they need. So we like to say we've gone beyond the button, and we truly have. And so I think that's one of our most unique differentiator.
That's incredible. As I go through your website and as I hear you talk now, Dorit, I am so impressed by just the level of technical sophistication, with your AI. Like, I was actually intrigued to hear that a lot of the elderly people prefer the AI bot to help answer some of their questions. And that actually is really intriguing to me.
Yeah. And there's you get spam calls, right? You get, you hear about fraud calls and people. So people are a little bit more skeptical, but we call her Esper, our AI virtual health assistant. And there are people who really, think Esper might be a real person and have suggested that she get a raise because she's so good at her job. So it's definitely a very effective way to also increase engagement and engagement with their health and engagement to check their readings, whether it's, you know, blood pressure, glucose, things along those lines.
I love that. Well, this is a new part of our podcast that I'm really excited to introduce, and it's our start and stop section. And when we have someone like you, Dorit, with your experience, your marketing experience, your leadership experience, it's really a treat for us to just fire some questions at you and for you to tell us what should we start doing and what should we stop doing. So this is our start and stop section. So I'm going to ask you a few questions, and in your own words, Dorit, what should people start and what should they stop doing? Okay. Are you game?
I'm ready.
All right, let's do it. Okay, we'll just start broad here, Dorit. To improve your overall brand, what should marketers start doing and what should they stop?
So to improve your overall brand, I would suggest finding advocates, creating advocates really within your organization across every department. Brand workshops, getting them excited about why you've chosen your tagline, why you've picked the colors you've picked. You know, how can they apply the branding consistently? And then making sure that they are equipped with the tools, the templates, and that they know who to go to whenever they have a question. Once people feel like they own your brand as much as you do, you will start to see people as excited as you are about it, and they will start to demonstrate that externally and even internally.
I love that. So often we hear about getting advocates outside of your org or things, but actually people within your organization to buy into your brand. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
What should people stop doing when it comes to their overall brand?
Oh, this might be a little controversial, but I would stop worrying every 5 seconds about what the competition is doing. Marketers, we get emails every day from about 50 people within the company showing us something that the competition did right. And it's like, oh, look at this, it's cool. And that's great. And you should always know what the competition is doing. But you can't spend your entire life focused on that. The most effective brand strategy is to know yourself really, really well, and to show up consistently with your value proposition. Because if you react always to the competition, you're watering down who you truly are. So again, I want people to do competitive analyses. I want them to know who their competitors are, but don't make it, you know, take up so much of your headspace that you aren't really just focused on yourself and what you do well.
I love that. Rather than chasing every little rabbit trail coming from your competitors, why aren't we doing this on LinkedIn? Why aren't we doing this on, on our website? I love that. Know who you are. Stick with that. This is great. Okay. Question number two, how do we become more ROI focused? What should we start? What should we stop?
Yeah. So as marketers, I mean, it's really important to know what you can and you cannot track, because you can't really prove an ROI out until you know, first of all, like, what did you spend on what that marketing initiative was? And did you get leads from that? Did any of those leads convert? You know, so yeah, I think you have to start understanding what you can and you cannot track. And as much as we would like to think that we know everything, we don't. And sometimes, you know, we don't even have the software or the analytics systems. I mean, I'm super blessed at my company right now because I have people who focus on data and are analysts, and they give us amazing data, but that hasn't always been the case. And I know it's not the case with everyone. So you just need to start knowing what you can and you can't track, and then set some goals for yourself for things you can track and start showing, has this improved? Has it gone down like each quarter, right? So pick some metrics that matter that you can track and start to focus on those, because they'll be very directional and they will help you see what is effective. And then you can communicate that out to other people within your organization to show the value of marketing.
I love that. Really understanding what you can and can't, and having some clear expectations of what the reality actually is. What should people stop doing?
I think there is a tendency to focus on volume when you're trying to prove your value. And volume is great, but volume that doesn't convert, volume that isn't coming from your target market, can be helpful for awareness perspective. So volume metrics are important, but again, you should be looking at the correlation or the relationship between what you do and what it actually starts to produce in terms of leads and business and you know, moving opportunities through the funnel. So
I love that. Well, you're a CMO right now. You have a lot of marketing leadership experience. So when it comes to becoming a better marketing leader, What should people start and stop doing?
You should start listening to your team and trusting your team and recognizing that people are there for a reason. They have a particular area of expertise, and they're probably going to know some things better than you do. So you have to start trusting them. And that's going to also relieve some pressure off of you to be able to be more strategic, you know, to do some of the things that you need to do. And I would say to stop requiring people to report on things that really don't matter. So I remember when I first started, I used to get weekly reports that were color-coded, all of the activities that people did. And again, it goes back to trusting my team. If I can't trust you to do those activities throughout the week, then it's a different conversation. So really let people focus on the things that matter, trust them to do their job, and stop making them report on things that are unimportant.
I love that. Just clearing up that time and that mental energy to focus on the most important things and not tracking every little step. Great. I think that's some great advice. All right. Last question as part of our start and stop segment. How do people improve their word of mouth marketing? What should they start doing and what should they stop, Dora?
Yeah, so I think in the general rule of thumb is that your word of mouth marketing is either positive or negative based on people's experience. And if it's really great, you're going to get positive word of mouth. If it's really bad, you're going to get negative word of mouth. So you need to make sure that you're as close to that great experience as possible. When I first started at Connect America, for example, I needed to walk through what the customer experience was like to understand where the points of friction were. And it was a little more complicated on the B2B side because, you know, it could be multiple people in operations, you know, that I don't necessarily know about. So you have to understand that customer experience to know where you can improve, and then you can work with your partners across the organization to help improve that, because that's how you get positive word of mouth marketing. And I would say on the stop side, I would say stop assuming that people are going to just give it to you too. You should also ask them, right? And you also have to make it easy for them to talk about you. So make it easy for them to submit a testimonial, right? So again, just stop assuming that people are out there talking great about you. You need to kind of ask them to do so.
I love those answers. Thank you so much. Just a couple more questions before I let you go, Dorit. We hear a lot right now in marketing about CAC, the cost of customer acquisition. So how can, in a world where CAC is increasing, what can we do as marketers and as companies to help lower CAC?
This is the doing more with less kind of question, right? And again, we talked about data and tracking and what do you know and do you not know in order to make some of those decisions. But I mean, to me, especially in the B2B and the enterprise space, where you have multiple influencers and decision makers, I would suggest account-based marketing. The account-based marketing principles, you can apply those even if you don't necessarily are an expert in account-based marketing or have some sort of a software system that helps you, right? Just sit down with your sales team and whoever would have the answer to this question, and let's list out who our top targets are that are going to make us successful. If we could identify the top 10 or whatever number of customers that we need to acquire that year, and then learn everything that you need to know about them. Where do they go? Who are the decision makers? Who are the influencers? What are they putting out there in the news? Where can you find them on LinkedIn? What events do they go to? Those are just some basic principles that you can do, because you're not going to have as much money and as much time as you would love to be able to reach everybody. So why not make it more targeted? And when you do that, if I could just add on one other thing, because you're spending less time and less money trying to get everybody's attention, you can actually spend a little bit more to create more valuable experiences. You know, send a more expensive, beautiful mail piece. People don't get those anymore, you know? And if that doesn't work for you, you know, show up at the event and invest a little bit more in an experience that you can deliver for those people. So that would be my biggest advice to improve CAC.
I love that. Really focusing on the ABM, the account-based marketing approach. And it sounds like, if I can distill a little bit of what you're saying, that you're saying start out by actually listing out the company's names. Okay, who are these ideal customers that we want to sign on? And let's then start from there and work the other direction. And I love that. Find out where they're at, what shows they're at, where they're hanging out, and then let's customize our message for that. I love that response. All right, last question for you, Dorit. If you have 30 seconds, you run into someone in the hall, they're in marketing, or they're a business owner, and they want to improve their marketing, what would you tell them to do?
Yeah, so I spent about 5 or 6 years as a volunteer business mentor for women-owned business largely, but it could have, you know, mostly sole proprietors who wanted to understand how to market their business and get started. And it could have been everything from hair salon to art gallery to custom furniture. So I saw a broad range of people and experiences. And one of the things that always surprised me is how people don't actually sit down and really ask themselves, who is my customer, you know, and what do I have that will solve a problem? And what is that problem? So in IBM, I learned, you know, the value proposition template, which is, it's really these 5 questions. Who am I serving? What do they need? What do I have that solves that need? Who else could potentially provide that? So that's the competition. And, you know, but how do I do it better? And if you can answer those questions, then every other business question that you come across, for the most part, you know, is going to come back to one of those answers. Well, where should I do digital marketing? Well, I don't know. Like, well, who's your customer? Are they online? Can you afford, you know, things like that. So I just like the brass tacks, you have to be able to answer those questions in order to be effective in growing your business.
I love that. Even just hearing you share, I mean, I was hoping for 2 or 3 really great tips here, and you just flooded us with some really practical things we can use day in and day out. So thank you so much, Dorit, for joining the Word of Mouth Marketing Podcast. I've really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Todd. You're very kind.
Great. Thank you so much for everybody for listening in to the Word of Mouth Marketing Podcast. This is Todd Jensen, and we'll see you soon. I could talk to her all day. Let's take a look at 3 practical takeaways. Number 1, create advocates. I'm not talking external advocates, but internal advocates. These are other employees that are already getting behind your brand. Fan those flames. Get them to buy in, and they'll amplify everything that your marketing team is trying to do. Get internal advocates. Number 2, let's talk marketing leadership. When it comes to leading your marketing team, learn to listen to them, trust them, hand them the reins. They know more than you think they do. This is going to remove a lot of burdens from you and let you focus and be more strategic. What does this look like day in and day out? Quit making your team report on every little thing they do. Instead, just have them report on the essentials. This will give them more time to create. Number 3, let's talk improving your CAC. She tells us to borrow some ABM principles. This is account-based marketing. This means you sit down with your sales team and you find out exactly who their top targets are by company name. Then go and research and find out, where do these companies go? What events do they attend? Stop paying to get everyone's attention. That's a waste of money. Apply your funds only where your specific ideal customer will be. And then a bonus tip, just because Dorit is so awesome. Make sure your marketing team can answer these 5 critical questions. Who am I serving? What do they need? What do I have that solves that need? Who else offers a solution? And how do I do it better? If you can answer those 5 things as a marketing department from top to bottom, your marketing is going to be more focused and more impactful. That's a lot of great stuff, and I hope that you found it helpful. Thanks for joining.
We know you're busy. So from us at Snowball, thank you for listening to the Word of Mouth Marketing Podcast. Want to leverage more concrete strategies, real life examples, and practical tools? Then hit that subscribe button for growth done right.